10 seconds left. Connect. Ziegler puts up a three. No good. Lawyer the rebound. 5 seconds left. Lawyer will dribble it out. And the next stop on the Purdue Redemption Tour is the Final Four. First time in 44 years that Purdue is going to the Final Four.
And Purdue going to the Final Four means Tennessee is not. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live from the Busy Bee Plumbing Game Studios. Very excited, by the way, to have them aboard. Again, their game studios here today. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So let's start right on that. Let's start on the Tennessee-Purdue game yesterday. Now, all of the basketball bennies. I did not hear Robbie and Joe today. I'm sure it was wonderful. I'll listen to it probably after the show. You know, when I get to, my day was kind of thrown around differently today. Had to get my annual physical done today, which let me tell everybody out there, get your annual physical done. But anywho, so I'll listen to Robbie and Joe probably later today. But I did not hear them. I'm sure, because I read Joe's column in The Athletic, I'm sure there was a lot of, it was a great game, and it sucked that one team had to lose, and that's the difference between Purdue and Tennessee is just a little bit, and Zach Edey is so great, and Purdue, bullcrap. We're not doing that today. We're not doing what all the basketball bennies out there are doing, which is celebrating what was a great game of college basketball, because I believe that the Tennessee Volunteers should be in the Final Four today. And I feel bad for Vol fans. And I feel bad for that basketball team that they're not in the Final Four today. And I think that on some levels, it was a travesty what happened yesterday. And I think there are three specific things that stood out to me. Number one, the end of the first half run, Tennessee is up 11. Matt Painter calls timeout. Now, I don't know why Matt Painter and Purdue, I don't know why they're allowed to call timeout and Rick Barnes is not. But yesterday I had that moment where I looked up to the sky and I saw the old man and I said, I'm sure they had a meeting. Because that I have been banging on Rick Barnes for his lack of use of a timeout in situations like that. Ian, how long have I been banging on Rick Barnes for that for?
I don't know.
Guess.
A year or two?
7 years?
I don't know.
We used to, the arguments on the Jared and the GM show used to be, you don't know how many meetings they've had about calling timeout. They've talked about it so many times, you don't, and yet this freaking coach will not call timeout. Tennessee was up 11 freaking points, and Purdue called timeout because that's what you do. In basketball, is when one team goes on a big run, you call timeout, you slow the momentum. Not Rick Barnes, so Tennessee ends up with a 13-point swing and goes into the second half down by two. Inexcusable. The game was flying out of their hands. That's when you call timeout. You sit everybody down. And again, this is the NCAA tournament, so when you call timeout, they go to commercial, so these timeouts are longer. So you call timeout, you sit everybody down, and you say, okay, hey, calm down. It was an 11-point lead. Now it's a 5-point lead, but we're okay. But not this stubborn old pop-pop on the sideline. I got no sympathy for Barnes today, by the way. None. And this is coming from a guy who, you know, really wanted Tennessee to win for his sake because he has been much maligned for crapping his pants in all of these big games, and it just is kind of like it's who he is. I'm sorry. But he had an 11-point lead in the first half, and he did nothing to stop Purdue's comeback. Charles Barkley said after the game was over, he said at halftime, he said, if Tennessee loses the game, this is where they lost it. Tennessee never, ever, ever recovered from that end of the first half. A 9-minute run at some time, the coach has to put his foot down, call timeout. He's got to do something, but not Rick Barnes. The second thing, the officiating was horrendous yesterday. And I feel really bad for Tennessee fans on this front, because I've spent my entire life listening to Tennessee fans complain after they lose games that they got cheated by the refs. And 99.9% of the time, Tennessee fans are just being crybabies. Like when they threw golf balls on the field after, and mustard bottles after the Ole Miss football game. But in this case yesterday, they got screwed. And I'm going to tell you how. Because I understand it's really hard to officiate a game with Zach Edey in the paint, because he's a monster. You know, it kind of reminds me of Shaquille O'Neal at LSU a little bit, where it's like every play is a foul, but then are we going to stop the game? They're going to run out of players if we call it. And then, well, you know, are we letting them play? Are we letting them bang around? Are they letting... My problem with the officiating yesterday was I thought it was just too inconsistent. You know, I mean, on one side of the floor, we're going to call a hand check in the paint because Awaka's using the forearm, which is technically a foul. So we're going to call Awaka on the foul. Then the next time down, when Dalton Connect's coming off of a screen and you've got Lawyer grabbing onto the side of his shorts, we're not going to call that. And I'm like, if we're going to call the ticky-tack underneath here, we've got to call it over there. And I didn't think they did a very good job of that. Awaka's fifth foul, I thought was, you know, a little banging around there. He's going for the rebound. Edie's going for the rebound. I mean, they would all the time, anytime a shot went up, Edie would push somebody or he'd kind of body him out of the way and he'd get to the rebound. They never call it. I mean, the difference between those two teams yesterday was razor thin. And the difference in officiating, I think, was ridiculous yesterday. And quite frankly, I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like Tennessee was in a really tough spot where they didn't really know what they could do because, again, some trips down the floor, they'd call something a foul, and then the next time down the floor, they wouldn't call anything a foul. And I'm not saying Tennessee didn't foul. I mean, there were times where Estrella, I thought, was basically just grabbing, you know, almost going to take Edie's arm out of his socket. But if we're going to call it one time, we got to call it the whole time. It's got to be consistent, and it's got to be consistent on both ends of the floor, and I didn't think it was. So I think Rick Barnes blew it. I think the officials blew it. And the third place I'm going to go is Dalton Connect. And I know you're going to say, wait a minute, Jared, Dalton Connect had a gazillion points yesterday. What are you talking about? It was everybody else. It was Adu who didn't play well. It was Awaka who fouled out of the game. It was Ziegler who couldn't hit a shot. It was Vescovy who gets a wide open look at a three-pointer right before halftime, and he hits the front iron. Here's where I'm putting this on Dalton Connect. This was a mano-a-mano showdown. Their guy versus your guy. Just like tonight in the women's basketball game, right? It's going to be Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. And I know there will be four other players for Iowa, and there will be four other players for LSU. And I'm sure the other players for LSU are better than the other players for Iowa. But at the end of the day, it's not Bird and four other dudes versus Magic and four other dudes. It's Larry versus Magic. Yesterday, we had the two best players in the country playing against each other. It was Zach Edey, and it was Dalton Connect. And Dalton Connect had 37 points. Edey had 40. Dalton Connect, I'm sorry, he missed too many shots. He missed too many open looks. You know, again, 6 for 12 from 3. Put a couple of more of those in there, and those were some clean looks he got. Make a couple more of those, and you win. 14 of 31. Make a couple more of those, and you win. And so when you're the star player, you have the star responsibility. And in that game, Dalton Connect woke up yesterday morning, and he knew that he had to be the best player on the floor yesterday, and he wasn't. And the other thing I didn't like, and again, I don't care about what Dalton Connect does in the NBA. He'll be a high pick. And then, as is with all these things, we'll see. You know, there have been guys I've seen in college basketball I thought were going to be great NBA players. that ended up not doing much. There have been guys that I was like, who cares about him? And then all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell's like an 8-time All-Star. So who knows what Dalton Connect's going to do in the NBA? But when Dalton Connect would penetrate yesterday, he was afraid of trying to challenge Edie in the paint. And you're going to say, well, duh, Edie's 7 feet tall. Guess what? Every team in the NBA has a 7-foot center. So when Dalton Connect plans on playing in the NBA, is he going to be a spot shooter that just stands in the corner and lets it fly? Or is he going to have to create off the dribble? Because yesterday, I didn't think he did a good enough job of creating off the dribble. And again, I thought he had to have one of those unconscious performances yesterday in order to get over the hump of Zach Edey and what might be the best team in the country. I'll take Connecticut, but what might be the best team in the country in Purdue. And those are the three reasons why Tennessee's not in the Final Four. I can sit here today and I can play the, oh, that was such a good game. And, oh, it's such a travesty that one of these teams had to lose. And, oh, you can't take away from Coach Barnes. I think you can, because this team should be in the Final Four. And if he'd have called timeout, they might be. But he won't do it. And I thought the officiating was horrendous yesterday. They knew what they were getting themselves into in this game. And again, you just have to be consistent. They weren't. And again, as much as I'm going to sit here and say, like, hey, 37 points was impressive, and I felt early, I thought Dalton was going to do it, because I felt early on like he was about to go off. And 37 points, 37 points. The other guy had 40. The other guy had 40, and that's the difference. And so if you wanted to hear about how great of a game it was, if you wanted to hear about how sad it is that Tennessee didn't win, if you wanted to hear about all that, that's Tennessee should be in the Final Four. And it sucks they're not. If you're a Tennessee fan, I feel sorry for you, because I've been doing this long enough to know there's no guarantee you'll ever have a team that's that good. Memphis had a national championship in their grasp, and they couldn't make their free throws. They've never been back since. Okay? John Thompson III, he got to a Final Four. Georgetown had good players. They had a competitor in 2013, a national championship caliber team. They lost to Florida Gulf Coast. Never been back. JT3 is out, and Georgetown has never recovered. The idea that, oh, we'll get back there, I don't know, man. This was a special team. And this was a team that should still be playing. This is a team that should be competing for the national title. And yesterday, quite frankly, they just didn't play very well, and the game wasn't officiated very well, and they didn't coach very well. So that's how we're starting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I think it's pretty well known that, like, I'm not a huge Vols fan. Like, I didn't grow up a Vols fan. In fact, I grew up rooting against the Vols and everything else. But, I mean, there is just – there's this just level. I almost think it's embarrassing of people that are just not accepting what happened yesterday. It is wild to me. I want to do that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
Rob Lewis with VolQuest.com. Coach, just what about the way the game was officiated? How difficult, you know, was it to coach your guys on how to try to defend Edie with the way the game was called?
Well, one, you've got a very unique player, Zach Edie, very unique, and it's a hard game to officiate. The space on the court is so important, and depending on how a guy gets there and how you try to keep him from getting there, and the effort that goes into that oftentimes can get the one guy in particular there out of position where he can maybe help on some other different things. But he's an extremely physical player, does a great job wedging with his body. I thought all along his misses are the hardest thing to defend, because, you know, he does lead strong when he'll bounce you off and try to create a crack and step through it. That's where he's improved so much with his footwork. But I think it's hard for officials, because there's not many guys like that. And the game has changed so much through the years. And whether you stay in the lane 3 seconds or you don't, if you don't ever get out, it really distorts everything. And I'm not saying he did or he didn't, but watching tape, he's a difficult guy to officiate.
There you go. That was Rick Barnes yesterday after the game. And for the most part, Rick Barnes took the high road about officiating. Now, you did hear at the end of that cut where he's like, now, you know, I don't know if he was in the lane 3 seconds or whatnot. You got to move him out. I was screaming yesterday at the TV. I'm like, 3 seconds? He just camps out in the lane and they don't call anything. I mean, he's not even trying to get out of the lane. It was unbelievable. So I was listening to the Midday Show today, and I heard Willie say, you know, there is no way you can argue that the officiating was bad. And I was like, what? So I texted Willie, and I was like, Willie, the officiating was horrendous yesterday. It was inconsistent. You know, they call one thing over here, and then they wouldn't call it over there, and then they'd call. And Willie said to me, he goes, you sound like a UT homer. Well, I think we all know that I'm not a UT homer. So considering that I'm not a Tennessee homer, that I have no problem with the fact that Tennessee lost. I hate it for the fans. I hate it for the players. I have no sympathy for the coach because I thought he did a terrible job yesterday. But I have no sympathy for, you know, I have sympathy for the fans and I have sympathy for the players. I don't care. No, it doesn't change my life. It's not like it's Louisville. It's not like it's a, you know, the Titans or the Predators or a team that I actively root for. I just thought yesterday, as a basketball fan, I thought the officiating was horrific. And I remember a Super Bowl years ago when I was a kid. I mean, we're talking like middle school or high school. It's weird, these things that I remember in life. Like, I remember where I was when I heard, I was at the Jersey Mike's on White Bridge Road, which is still there nowadays. But I was there, and it was Sunday NFL countdown before the Super Bowl. And Torrey Holt was a guest analyst. This was when he was still a wide receiver with the Rams. And Torrey Holt was a guest analyst. And Jeff Fisher was a guest analyst. And they both agreed. They said the only thing that matters about the officiating is that they call it consistently. And that has stuck out, that has stood out to me, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, it has stood out my entire life. You know, look, the strike zone in baseball, it's not going to be perfect. Now, there was a guy on Saturday in the Braves-Phillies game who called what would have been a strike three and ended the inning. It was right down the pipe, and he didn't call it. That's a problem. But again, just call your zone consistently. If you're giving the low strike, give it to both pitchers. Football, same way. If we're calling holding and we want to take that, throw the flag. But what you can't do is you can't throw it on one possession and then the next possession let them play. And I thought yesterday that was the problem the officials had. I don't think the officials were like in the bag for Purdue or anything like that. But they were inconsistent. Some of the fouls that they were calling on Awaka, for instance, they were not calling on the other side. I mean, Edie, and I know Edie averages 2.5 fouls a game or something like that. Edie fouls, especially going up for rebounds. Now, if we were to say, hey, it's the NCAA tournament, we're going to let those boys bang inside there, we're going to just let it go, fine. I don't have a problem with it. But you can't call a hand check then. Even if Awaka has the forearm, has the arm bar on him, and he's got the other hand, like, if we're letting him play, you don't call that. If we're going to call it tight, that's fine. But then when Edie pushes somebody under the basket, or he's got J.P. Estrella's arm hooked because Estrella's trying to front the post, you got to call a foul. You got to have it both ways. You cannot let Lawyer hang off of Dalton Connect's shorts as he's coming off of a screen because he gets beat on the play. And I think it is almost ignorance to say that there was not what I believed, and what I think many people believe, that there was not inconsistent officiating yesterday that changed the outcome of the game, that truly affected the outcome. And I go back to Awaka's fifth foul. If we want to call it tight, fine, call it a foul. Now, in live time, I didn't see the foul. They showed the replay, and I did see that Awaka's arm was kind of tied under Edie's. And so if you wanted to call a foul, you could have called a foul. But again, we haven't called any of those fouls the entire game of those guys banging in the paint, and then for rebounds, and then we're going to call it on a walk-up for his fifth? I didn't like it. I didn't think that was good officiating. And I think that was kind of a theme throughout the course of the game. And I saw that, I want to say it was Grant Ramey tweeted out, covers the Vols for one of those, you know, rah-rah fan sites that pretends that they're a serious outlet. Though I don't know, Grant, he might be great. I don't know. But he posted a picture during a timeout of Barnes working the official, where during the timeout it was Barnes and he was at like the free throw line talking to the official during a timeout. And coming out of that timeout, they called a phantom voodoo call on Dalton Connect, again, like against Purdue, where the guy was defending Connect. And I'm like, the guy didn't even touch Connect, and they called the foul, which means that they were worked over. These officials were worked over that easily by Rick Barnes in that timeout, which means that the very pro-Purdue crowd probably affected the officiating yesterday. And I get it. Edie's going to get star calls. He's the star. But we got to at least kind of call it both ways. And I don't think they did that. I mean, I was looking through my Twitter from yesterday and just, you know, some of the things I couldn't believe. You know, I'm like, they called a foul on J.P. Estrella, and I put out on Twitter, I'm like, where was that foul on Estrella? Somebody help me get to this foul on J.P. Estrella. There were other ones, right, where I felt like, oh, a moving screen on Edie. Are we going to call that? Nope. They were even on the broadcast. They were like, oh, Edie, they're not going to call it. It's like, if we're going to call it tight, if we're going to call the arm bar and the hand check, then we have got to call a moving screen. And they didn't. And I just think, again, there's something about basketball, like college basketball, that the college basketball writers of America who cover this sport in November and December and January, when we're all paying attention to football, that these people feel like they are the utmost authority on what we're allowed to view when watching March Madness, because they watch it much larger than we do, right? Like, they know more about Kevin Keats at NC State than we do, because they know more about NC State, because some of us didn't even know NC State had a basketball program until a week ago. But at the same time, there's kind of this pompous arrogance that's like, it wasn't bad officiating. I'm like, did you watch a game? Because I watch a game. And again, it was so inconsistent. And I think the Vol fans should be upset about that. Again, I am not a UT homer. And for 30 years of my life, I'm 34 right now, for 30 years of my life, I have heard Tennessee Volunteer fans call in after football and basketball games and complain about officiating my entire life. In fact, I joke about it. Oh, the refs, they're cheating us. This is the one time where I think Tennessee has a rightful gripe, and I think they got screwed by the officials and how inconsistent they called it, and how they let Zach Edey get away with murder in the paint. They let the guards put their hands everywhere. And don't even get me started. I must have been the only person in America that noticed this yesterday. Did you notice when the Purdue guards caught the ball that, you know, they pass out of the post, they throw it back to the guard. All these guards shot fake and then drive, right? Because the whole point is to shot fake, drive, guy comes over to help, and they dump it off to Edey for a dunk. So they shot fake and they drive. Well, these Purdue guards are kicking their feet, both of them, every time they go for that shot fake. That's a walk. Now, it's not a walk in the NBA, but this isn't the NBA. But I have noticed this over the years, that we are getting further and further away from actually calling that penalty in college basketball, whereas the NBA gave up on it years ago. I watched the UConn game. I don't know if you guys saw this. The UConn game, Stan Van Gundy's doing it. And the guy from Connecticut drives, he gets bumped, they call the foul, puts the shot up, it goes in, and Van Gundy's like, we have got to add the continuation in college basketball, that bucket should count. No, I don't want guys getting fouled at the three-point line and saying that a drive to the paint counts. No, but that's a different discussion. Again, I thought the officiating was horrible, and if anybody tells you otherwise, I think that they're finger wagging you because this is college basketball and you Tennessee fans need to accept what happened. I'm like, look, I mean, they're not going to redo the game, but Tennessee got screwed. 615-737-1025. We got a bunch of your phones to get to, so we'll do it. 615-737-1025. Zach Edey said something after the game yesterday that I guess Tennessee fans got mad about. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. By the way, if your bracket's all screwed up, we have the ability for you to still win because we've got the four-team bracket challenge. UConn, go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your four-team bracket challenge to compete to win prizes, including tickets to see Creed at Ascend Amphitheater on August 13th. The 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
What does it mean? I mean, you gave the net to Coach Katie. What does it mean to get Coach Painter to the Final Four?
It's amazing. Like I get to pay him back. Like there were so many coaches that looked over me. Like you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me and can't do that anymore.
So that Zach Edey comment yesterday had a lot of Tennessee fans online upset. They were like, how dare you throw Rick Barnes under the bus? Just celebrate your win. You don't have to do that. Let me say this, folks. You can walk the walk. You can talk the talk. And Zach Edey had 40 points. Now, the officiating, again, I thought was horrendous. But Zach Edey had 40 points. Zach Edey's in the Final Four. Zach Edey, when he was doing that interview, had the net around his neck. You can talk the talk if you can walk the walk. And yesterday, Purdue did. I bet Zach Edey wouldn't have that same tune if Tennessee had called timeout at one point during that end of the first half run. But nope, they didn't. And Purdue won, and Purdue can talk. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is going to kick us off today on the Elite Eight. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I don't share your sentiment when it comes to them getting hosed on officiating. I knew it was going to be a tough game. Well, the problem I have with that game is that coming into it, it was going to be either it's Dalton Connect and then he's going to need help. And that was going to have to come from Vescovi and from Adu, and I thought they were just gone. Like, I know Vescovi was, I guess, had the flu or something the game before, but those two guys, like, where were they? They're an important piece. I thought Jordan James came out of nowhere and played his butt off. I feel bad for him, but, like, I expected those two to do a lot more than what they did.
So here's the crazy part about it. Who was the second best player on the floor for Tennessee yesterday, in your opinion, Adam?
Let's see. Probably Jordan James.
So I would argue that the second best player, thank you, Adam, I would argue that the second best player was Gainey. And Gainey hit two threes, had a massive steal that got Tennessee right back in the game that led to a Dalton Connect dunk. So if your best players, if the guys who play at the best of their ability in an Elite Eight game are Dalton Connect, Jordan Gainey, and JP Estrella, you've got problems. And so, again, those guys, Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James and even to a certain extent, Zakai Ziegler. Now, Ziegler kind of is in the, hey, man, you know, it's different in college. I don't know how much these kids make now that they are getting paid. But this is, hey, man, you got to pay what you owe here. Ziegler is kind of in that class. But to me, this is about the star versus the star. I don't look at Purdue and say, you know what? Purdue got there because Lawyer made a couple of nice plays down the stretch that put them. Purdue's there because of Zach Edey. And Tennessee's not there because Zach Edey had 40, Dalton Connect had 37. There you go. Now, the one thing that I think I am a little disappointed with is my game plan, if I was Tennessee, I think it's you're right not to double the post, which is everybody wants to do it, right? Deny the ball into the post, force Edey to go the other way, and then once it gets in there, clamp down on the post. The problem is that you do that, Edie's going to kick it out to a shooter. What I would have done if I was Tennessee is I would have played in front of Edey and forced him to the side with which he wants to post up on that left block. So move him to the other side. So he's got to post up over there. And then once he does, let him catch the ball. And I was texting with my old high school coach, and I said that I would let Edie, I would just man up Edie. Tell Adu, Awaka, Estrella, just get in front. Once he catches, get your hands up. But, I mean, he's probably going to score. And my high school coach said, well, you do that. You let Edie get his. He may get 40. I said, I know. But I can score 60. If Edie scores 30 and everybody else, because I'm doubling down in the post or I'm trying to rake and grab the ball or something like that, if Edie's throwing out of the post and everybody, he's got 15, he's got 15, he's got 15, I lose. And so I would let Edie get his. And I'd make all the other guys spectators. And then if I'm Tennessee, I try to win on the other end because when I shoot, I'm shooting for three. They're shooting for two. I'm shooting for three. I also wish that Rick Barnes had gone to Ganey earlier in the game. And then once it was obvious that he was having, that he was on, they really needed to say, hey, if this ball doesn't go to Dalton, it needs to go to Jordan Ganey. As far as shooting the ball from the perimeter. And instead, I mean, there's a timeout, and coming out of the timeout, they draw up an elbow jumper for Josiah Jordan James. Or at least that's what ended up happening if they didn't draw it up. Ben in Cumberland City says, Jared, come on, man. You sound like the rest of the whiny Tennessee fan base crying about everything. The national media hates us. The refs hate us. It's such a worn-out attitude. Anytime Tennessee's team loses, there's a conspiracy behind it. I didn't give you a conspiracy. I just told you the game was called inconsistently, and it was bad. But again, this is the point. You're saying I sound like all these whiny Tennessee fans. Well, you know that I'm not a whiny Tennessee fan. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that I am not Chad Withrow. So if you know that I'm not a Vol homer, that I don't live and die by UT, that, again, I didn't have a hard time sleeping last night after that game. I'm sure there were some UT fans that were all excited about their trips to Phoenix that were. So if you haven't been listening long enough to know that I don't do that, especially when it comes to the Vols, then that's on you. But to just disagree with something or to not like Tennessee fans and thus say the claims of horrendous officiating yesterday are invalid just because Tennessee fans always complain, I think it just actually tells me more about you and how much you don't like Tennessee fans complaining. And I don't like Tennessee fans complaining either. I've dealt with it my entire life. But this is different. I mean, this, to me, there is substance to this. Gary says, too many missed mid-range jumpers. Did they hit more than two of those yesterday? Texter says, I'd drop 40 if I got 952 free throws. Again, I'm fine with calling it tight. You know, the NCAA tournament, back when Cal used to win games in the NCAA tournament, Cal had a theory. He never liked playing zone. And people would say, why don't you play zone? And Calipari would say that he wouldn't play zone because what they call in the regular season, you know, when they start calling hand checks and body bumps and things like that, they're not going to call it the NCAA tournament. So I'm not going to coach them to play a certain way during the regular season, knowing that we're going to throw that out the window come the NCAA tournament. So what I guess I'm saying is, like, if you want to call it tight, again, I'm not used to that in the tournament, you can call it tight. But you got to call it tight on both sides. And you can't be selective with how tight you are. You can't have them battling under the basket and shoving everybody out of the way and not calling a foul on Edie. And then all of a sudden, you know, Awaka gets tangled up with Edie at the end, and now it's the fifth foul? I mean, I just thought it was unbelievable. One texter says, as a Tennessee fan, this wasn't a Tennessee versus the refs problem. Zach Edey has gotten this treatment the entire year, and I've yet to see a national media member call it out. You're telling me in a physical game, every single player that was on the court got called for a foul in the first half except for the biggest guy on the court. It makes it impossible to watch. Let me say this about my assumptions of the basketball bennies out there when it comes to the, you know, again, the bennies are, oh, you don't understand. You guys are just complaining about officiating. This isn't. These guys are turned into the baseball writers. You know, the baseball writers just think that baseball is holier than that. Like Jason Stark You know, you said to Jason Stark something like, hey, you know that a lot of people don't care about baseball as much as they used to? How dare you say that about America's national pastime? You know, that's how the baseball writers are. How dare you suggest that we let Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame? You know, that kind of thing. Basketball writers are kind of like that, too. Like, they're kind of like that, too. The Jeff Goodmans, the Matt Norlanders, the Dana O'Neills, you know, the people that Rex Road goes out to dinner with when he goes on the road for games like this. Those people. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And I really wanted there to be a different outcome, but it is what it is. And there's no way of getting around it, and I'm going to tell you what that is next, and we'll do that here on Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. The Predators, by the way, back in action tomorrow. They're taking on the Bruins. And tomorrow is your opportunity to participate in Preds Pick to Click. That's right. Preds Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. That's my real estate agent. Get your home seen, heard, and sold with TJ. But if you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Retro tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.
Connect for three. And Edie with the rebound.
Lance Jones got away with one there because that was going to be an open shot. You got to fight over those screens big time against this guy.
This is the 28th time this year Purdue has had a run of at least 10-0 or more. And now it's 12 in a row for the Boilermakers. Every time they're in the half court, something good happens.
Again, I wish I could make it the outcome different for them, but the fact that God's blessed me with the time I've had with these guys is something that I wish every coach could enjoy.
I wish there was something I could do about this. There is. You build a time machine, go back an hour, and you call timeout when you have an 11-point lead. Purdue calls timeout. And then you give up a 12-0 run, and all of a sudden you're going into the break trailing when, again, you had an 11-point lead and really had Purdue on the ropes. One texter says, Joe is going to rip you a new one for blaming Rick Barnes. Let me just say this. I was rooting for Rick Barnes. I like Rick Barnes. I do. I think Rick Barnes is a good coach. I have said this for years. I think he's the perfect coach for Tennessee basketball. Because he will give you an interesting January, if you're a Vol fan, football season is over in December, and he'll give you an interesting December, January, February, and March. Then they'll crap out in the tournament, and everybody will be upset for a day, and then you'll go on about your life, and you'll move over to baseball. It happens all the time. He's a good coach, and you could do a lot worse than Rick Barnes. But I did not think Rick Barnes coached a very good game yesterday. Number one, I didn't like the game plan. I already told you. I would have let Edie get his, and I would have made all the other guys beat me. Purdue would have been shocked by this game plan of, we're going to deny it into the post, but we're not going to challenge Edie too much. We're going to go straight up, you know, maybe try to block a shot early before guys get in foul trouble, something like that. But what we're really not letting you do is we're not letting Edie throw the ball out of the post. Then the guards start to get impatient because even though Edie's the star player, they want their shots now. They start to get impatient, and again, it's simple math. I'm going to score 60. Edie can't score 60 in a game. So if he tries, he gets to 54, but nobody else scores, I win. So I didn't like that. Number two, I did not like how he wouldn't call timeout, you know, when Purdue went on that run, and I think that's the number one thing that probably cost Tennessee the game outside of the officiating. Again, I know he doesn't do it. It doesn't mean that it's good. Every other coach in America, including the coach that you played against yesterday, called timeout. Rick Barnes won't do it. I did not like plays they drew up out of the timeout. Too often I felt like Tennessee settled for a jump shot out of a timeout that was not a high percentage look or was not a wide open Dalton Connect three or it was drawn up for Ziegler or Josiah Jordan James shooting an elbow jumper. I'm like, where did we come up with this play? And again, when you're coming out of the timeout, that's a play that the coach draws up. Didn't like that. I did not like how long it took him to get Jordan Gainey in the game, realizing that Gainey was having a good game when Vescovi was not. I didn't like that. I thought that Gainey was probably against Purdue from a defensive standpoint, and the fact that he hit a couple of jump shots, I thought Gainey was probably the best changeup that they had that could have thrown Purdue off a little bit. They just didn't use him very much until the very end of the game. And I did not like when he came back with a walk-up. He came back with a walk-up with about 5 minutes to go. My rule of thumb is this. You have to put a guy with four fouls back in the game if the game is going to get out of hand without him in it. That's how I view it. So if you are going to lose the game, if this player's not in, let's use Steph Curry at Davidson as the example. A one-man team. If Steph Curry has four fouls and it is a two-point game, Steph's on the bench. If Steph has four fouls and all of a sudden it's starting to get to 7, 8, 10, where if I don't come back with Steph right now, it's not going to matter. If Steph's available for the final 3 minutes, Steph goes back in the game. When he decided to go back with Awaka at the five-minute mark, Estrella was actually doing a pretty good job. And so at that point, I'm like, you can take it to the under four timeout of the second half, which is then when, hey, if you got four fouls, you got to play. And he didn't do that, and immediately Awaka got popped with number five. I just didn't like it. So you can say Joe will get mad at me. I'm sure he will. But I just didn't think that Barnes coached a very good game yesterday. One texter says, when the only player on your team scores in double digits, when only one player on your team scores in double digits, it makes it harder to win. The rest of the team just did not help Dalton connect. I would disagree. I mean, I think Gainey did his job. I think Estrella did his job. Other than that, I see what you're saying.
Ziegler had a bad game.
What's that?
Ziegler.
I was going to say, they needed better out of Ziegler.
Yeah,
that was the one where he had open shots.
Adu missed too many open shots.
Adu sucks.
He's too soft for games like that.
I'm really disappointed because I really felt like Adu at the end of the regular season was coming on, and Adu was terrible in the SEC tournament. He was terrible
against
in the
Creighton,
Sweet 16
too.
Game. Yes, he was terrible Friday night, and he was terrible yesterday. I hope he's getting NIL money because I hate saying the college players suck, but if you're getting paid, then it's part of the deal. I'm sure he's getting some NIL money. Kyle in Shelbyville says, can we just agree that two great teams went to battle and one had to lose and one had to win? No! No! That, to me, is the cop-out. Well, it was a great game, and somebody had to win, and somebody had to lose, and somebody had to not call timeout. And somebody was drawing up plays for Josiah Jordan James to shoot from the elbow. And somebody had their post players get about 25 fouls when the other team's post player got one or two fouls. What it does is it ignores what happened and just allows us to dismiss it as if it's just nothing. Kind of like that NCAA women's game. Did you see that yesterday, Ian, where the three-point line was different on the two ends of the floor?
No, I didn't see that.
So in the NC State-Texas women's game, Wes Moore, who should be the next head coach at Tennessee, and honestly, to me, when I saw Kelly Harper was getting fired, I'm like, that is for Wes Moore. I'll be stunned if they don't hire Wes Moore at NC State. But before NC State played Texas in the women's Elite Eight, the two coaches looked and noticed that the three-point line was different on one side of the floor than it was the other side. So they did, you know, what you normally do where you count your steps, and they realized it was off. They brought out the measuring tape, and the NCAA measured it and saw that it was off. And both coaches just agreed to play on it anyways. I'm like, how does that happen? And no, I'm just not going to ignore stuff like that when it happens and say, oh, well, you know, it was a great game and somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. No, no. We're not doing that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Field Yates at ESPN. He's got a little football experience. Used to work for teams. Smart guy. We had Field on at the Super Bowl. I thought it was one of the best and most informative interviews that we did. So Field has updated his big board. And I trust this stuff. because I know Field knows players. And so he's got a couple of things in here that I'm keeping my eye on. We'll get to that coming up next here on Stillman & Company on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Hey, score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10,000 Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler Home Generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler Home Generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway. To enter, that's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company.